This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kedoshim. I will start on Parsha in chapter 19, verse number 1. The verse says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, Daber el kol adas bnei Israel. Tell to the whole congregation of Jewish people. Vomartu aleihem, you should say to them, Kedoshim tiyu, holy you should be, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because holy am I, Hashem, your God. The first Rashi of this week's Parsha asks, why is it written here that we should speak El Kol Adas Bnei Israel to the whole congregation of Jewish people? Rashi answers that this is to teach you that this Parsha was given in an assembly, meaning that everybody got together, and the reason it was given in an assembly is because Rav Gufei HaTorah Tluyim Bo, that most principles of Torah are written in this Parsha. Therefore, this Parsha became very important. And since it was so important, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the whole congregation of Jewish people before he transmitted this Parsha. The Mizrahi asks, what do you mean to say that this Parsha was given in an assembly, which implies that other Parshas were not given in assembly? The Gemara in Ervin, Daf Nun Dalet Omed Beis 54b, there explains how it was the order that Moshe Rabbeinu used to transmit the Torah. There it explains that Moshe Rabbeinu learned the Torah first directly from Hashem, and then Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted what he learned to Aharon, and Aharon remained next to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the children of Aharon entered, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to the children of Aharon, and then they remained, and the elders of the Jewish people came in, and Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted the Torah to the elders of the Jewish people, and then they too remained inside, and the Jewish people came in, and Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted the Torah to the Jewish people. Then it continues that Moshe Rabbeinu went out, and Aharon transmitted the Torah to his children, to the elders, and to the Jewish people, and then Aharon went out, and the children of Aharon transmitted the Torah to the elders and the Jewish people. And then Aharon's children went out, and the elders transmitted the Torah to the Jewish people. Ends up that every group of Jewish people learned the Torah at least 4 times. That is what the Gemara says there. Then ends up being that every time that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah, the whole congregation of the Jewish people, the nation of the Jewish people, were there to listen to the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Then why is this Parsha different? The Mizrahi answers that in other times it could be different groups coming in, but here everybody came in together. The Rachaim HaKodesh doesn't understand what the Mizrahi means by saying that they could come in groups, because if it means to say that the congregation of Jewish people came in different groups to listen to the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, then ends up being that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't teach them only 4 times, he taught them sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7 times, depending how many groups came in to listen to the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara clearly says that the Jewish people learned 4 times from Moshe Rabbeinu, unless you say that it means to say that at least 4 times, but that doesn't seem what the Gemara means there. And if it means to say that normally it came in different groups, meaning Aharon separately, the children separately, the elders separately, and the Jewish people separately, and in this Parsha, everybody came together as one, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu taught everybody together the first time, not Aharon separately, as normally was the procedure, then the question is, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do this all the time? Because clearly you can't compare somebody who learned Torah directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, who heard it directly from Hashem, than with somebody who learned Torah from somebody who heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, who heard it from Hashem. Because the closer you are to the line of the transmission, it will be better for the person listening, because then you would understand it more properly. Then the question is, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do this all the time? The Racham explains that we have to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do this all the time because of 2 reasons. Either because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to afford honor to Aharon separately and to the children of Aharon separately and to the elders separately and then to the Jewish people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu would continue doing this procedure. Then the question is, why in this parsha this procedure was abolished according to the Mizrahi? Or we have to say that Hashem knew that every time somebody explains what he learned, he may explain it differently. Therefore, Hashem wanted specifically that Moshe Rabbeinu should transmit the Torah to Aharon, and then Moshe Rabbeinu would transmit the Torah to the Jewish people, and then Aharon would transmit the Torah to the Jewish people, and then the children of Aharon would transmit the Torah to the Jewish people, and then the elders would transmit the Torah to the Jewish people. Like that, if there was any difference in what they transmitted, people would ask questions regarding that difference. Like that, they would solve the differences, they'll understand fully what was said by Hashem. Like that, the subject would be clarified and people would know exactly what to do, because different people perceive what was said and transmit what was said in different ways. As an aside, since we are right after Pesach and there's a custom to learn Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers, between Pesach and Shavuot, I remember what my Rosh Yeshiva, Tevina Rov, Rabbi Zril Yudo Lebovich, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say regarding the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, chapter 5, Mishnah number 9. There the Mishnah lists Shiva Dvarim Begoilam. There are 7 traits that characterize somebody who is a fool. V'shiva b'chocham, and so 7 traits that characterize somebody who is wise. And one of the traits that the Mishnah says regarding a wise person is that a wise person, when he didn't hear something, he says that he did not hear. And the Mishnah continues and says v'chilufeyem begoilam, that the opposite is in regards to a fool. Normally, we translate that a fool, when he did not hear something, would say that he heard, where a wise person would say that he did not hear. But my Rosh Hashiva used to say that when the Mishnah says v'chilufeyem begoilam, that the opposite is in regards to a fool, it means both statements the opposite. Meaning, a wise person, when he did not hear something, he would say that he did not hear. And the opposite, a fool, when he heard something, he would say that he heard. The question is, if he already heard something and he says that he heard, why is he called a fool? And the answer that my Rosh Hashiva used to give is that a lot of times people transmit the same thing in different ways. People use different language to transmit the same thing. They use different examples. They use different nuances to transmit the same thing. And by giving different nuances, a person gets different messages from the same thing. Which means that a wise person, even though he heard something, he would say he did not hear, because he would want to hear different ways. A fool, when he heard something, he says that he heard it already, because he thinks he knows exactly what it is, and he doesn't understand that people could give different examples and different language, and then the whole thing has a stronger meaning and different meanings. But a wise person would let the person say it over in order to get different perspectives and different ways of understanding the same thing. Therefore, the Rachaim HaKodesh says that because of this reason that different people transmit differently, it is why Hashem said that Moshe Rabbeinu should transmit it to the Jewish people and Aharon should transmit it to the Jewish people and the children of Aharon would transmit it to the Jewish people and the elders would transmit it to the Jewish people. Like that, the Jewish people would get 4 different interpretations of that law, 4 different meanings of that law, meaning different examples, different nuances, different ways of transmission. Like that, the people would know exactly what he said. And if, since this is the reason why Hashem wanted it to be transmitted that way, then why would this parsha be different? Why would the parsha of Kedoshim be different than any other parsha? Furthermore, Dorachaim asks a question, that in the verse it's written, Daber el kol hadas bnei Yisrael, speak to the whole congregation of the Jewish people. Ve'omarto aleihem, and you should say to them. We know normally these two languages of saying. Daber is a strong language, which means a hard words, loshen kosher, and ve'omarto is a mirorake, a soft speaking. Then why here it's written daber, you should speak to the whole congregation, and then ve'omarto, and you should say to them. Why the change of the language, and why the repetition of the language? You could just said, daber, er kol das bnei Yisrael, speak to the whole congregation of the Jewish people, kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. Why you have to say again, ve'omarto aleihem, and you should say to them, what was added by saying to them? The Reish Lakish gives a simple answer. The Reish Lakish says that normally the women were not required to come learn Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu because women are not required to learn Torah. But in this parsha, the women were also required to come learn because since there are so many principles of Torah included in this parsha. In this parsha specifically, the Reish Lakish says the women were required to come learn Torah, but that's why it's written, Daber el kol hadas bnei Yisrael, speak to the whole congregation of Jewish people, which doesn't mean that everybody should come together, meaning that they should come in one group, not as a normal procedure. It means to say that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu made sure that in this parsha, the women were also included. And he says that this is the same way that is written in Parshas Yisroi, Shmos, chapter 19, verse number 3, where there we are discussing the Ten Commandments. There it's written, Koy soymar leveis Yaakov, so you should say to the house of Jacob. And Rashi explains that the house of Jacob is referring to the women, Vesagit livnei Yisrael, and you should tell the Jewish people. And there we see also a different language where by the women it's written Amiro Rako, it's written a soft speaking, where by the men it's written Sagit, you should tell, which is Dvorim Koshim Kegidim, which is things that are hard as sinus, which means a stronger language. So we see when Hashem transmitted the Torah, Hashem used different languages for men and different languages for women. So too here, when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, and because in this parsha the main principles of the Torah are included, and the women were also there, it's written two different language because here the women came, and by the men it's written Daber el kol das bnei Yisrael, you should speak a harsh language to the Jewish people, but ve'omarto aleihem, you should say to them, it's referring to the women. And to preempt the question that people may ask, well, how can we say that here it's written a soft language for the women and a harsh language for the men when we know that Moshe Rabbeinu theoretically only gave the parshas of Kedoshim once. He was not told to repeat to the women separately. He spoke to the men and women together. Then how can it be a soft speech to the women and a harsh language to the men? This question is also asked in Parshas Yisroi regarding the Ten Commandments, where there clearly it's written by Rashi that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak softly to the women and harshly to the men. And we know that the Ten Commandments were only said once by Moshe Rabbeinu. And one of the answers that Mefarshim give is that since the women are holier than men, the same words and the same commandments seemed soft-spoken to the women and harsh spoken to the men, meaning that women were holier and they could easily accept the words of Hashem. The commandments were easily accepted by the women. Therefore, for the women, the same speech was considered soft because they could easily do it. But by the men, since the men were stubborn and the men were not in such a holy level, then the same words for the men was harsh. And the same thing is here. Since most of the principles of Torah is included in this parsha, for the women, since they were in a holier level, therefore for the women this was considered soft speaking, but for the men, the same words were considered hard speaking. Another example we could give, which directly affected the Jewish people, is that in verse number 4, there it says, Al tifnu halilim, do not turn to idols, and molten gods you should not make for you, which refers to the prohibition of idolatry. And we know that the Jewish people, the men, transgressed and they did the golden calf, whereas the women did not do the golden calf. Then comes out, then when they heard those words from Moshe Rabbeinu, those words for the men was harsh words, because they affected them directly, since they had already transgressed this. Therefore, for them, it became hard to hear, because it's hard to hear your rebuke. But for the women, since the women did not transgress this, then for the women, the same commandment, the same speech was considered soft. The Gurari and the Panim Yafes explains the idea of this parsha being in Hakel a little bit differently. And the Panim Yafes and the Gurari say that in the other mitzvahs, in the other commandments, true that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people, but not everybody in the Jewish people was required to come to Moshe Rabbeinu and learn Torah. Meaning that they could learn Torah from some other people later. They don't have to be present every time that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Torah. But in this parsha of Kedoshim, since so many principles of Torah is here, when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu insisted that every Jew is present. Meaning that normally not every Jew had to be present when Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted the Torah to the Jewish people. Only the people that wanted to come came. But in this parsha of Kedoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu insisted that the whole congregation come, that all the men come to learn, in order for them to learn what is written in this parsha, because since in this parsha there are so many principles of Torah, therefore it was required that all the men come when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to the Jewish people. The Divrei Yoel asks a question on this Guraria and this Panim Yafes by asking why, in fact, didn't Moshe Rabbeinu require every time he taught Torah that all the Jewish people come? Clearly, it would be beneficial for the Jewish people to hear the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, because like that, the Torah will be more embedded in their heart. Then why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu did not require all the Jewish people to come to learn Torah every time Moshe Rabbeinu taught? Why only in Parshas Kedoshim Moshe Rabbeinu insisted that everybody comes? Clearly, if Moshe Rabbeinu insisted that everybody comes in Parshas Kedoshim, it is beneficial for the people to hear it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. If that is so, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu require that every single Jew be present in front of Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to the Jewish people? Before the Divrei Yoel answers this question, the Divrei Yoel first brings the question of the Yefei Tohar. The Yefei Tohar asks a question in regards to the language that says Kedoshim Tiyu, that you should be holy. He explains that if this is a commandment for the Jewish people to be holy, then it should be written, Hey you, Kedoshim, you should be holy. In the same way that's written in Shmos chapter 19, Hey you, Nechoinim, L'shoshet Yomim, be ready for the third day, which means that the Jewish people have to make a preparation to be ready for receiving the Torah. Then clearly, if here it's meant that the Jewish people have to make a preparation to be holy, it should be said, Hey you, Kedoshim, not Kedoshim Tiyu, because Kedoshim Tiyu seems to imply that it's a promise that they will be holy. As a matter of fact, Sefer Agra Dechala translates the verse Kedoshim Tiyu as a promise that the Jewish people are always going to be holy. Then if that is interpretation, why specifically in this parsha Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that we are going to be holy? Why do we need the promise specifically in this parsha? And furthermore, he asks the continuation of the pasuk that says that we should be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I Hashem am holy, meaning that we Jewish people should be holy. Because Hashem is holy, how can we compare ourselves to Hashem? Hashem is totally spiritual, and therefore he could be completely holy. But since Hashem created us out of physical matter, therefore we cannot achieve the same holiness as Hashem. Then what is the commandment that we should be holy? Because Hashem is holy,
theoretically there is no comparison between our holiness and Hashem's holiness, then what is the meaning of the verse, Kedoshim Tiyu, that we should be holy because Hashem, our God, is holy?
To answer this question, the Divrei Yoel brings the Gemara in Brachas Daf Chof Ches Omet Aleph, which really the Gemara starts in Daf Chof Zion Omet Beis 27b, where there the Gemara tells the famous story how Rab Gamliel, because he insulted Rab Yeshua, was deposed as a Nasi, as the leader of the Sanhedrin, and they were looking for somebody to take his place, and they decided that they are going to take Rab Lozer ben Azariah. As a matter of fact, connecting this to the Haggadah, there is where the Gemara is telling the story how the wife of Rab Lozer ben Azariah told them that he should not take his job because he's too young. And overnight a miracle happened that 18 strands of white hair grew, and therefore Rab Lozer ben Azariah says, Hare ani kiven shivim shana, I'm like a 70 years old, which means to say that from heaven they showed that Rab Lozer ben Azariah should get the position of Nasi. There the Gemara says that Oysa Yoim, that day, Solku leshomrei haPesach, they took away the guard of the door of the house of study, v'nitna lohem reshus v'talmidim lichonos, and any student that wanted to come to the house of learning could come in. Why did they remove the guard? Because Rav Gamliel used to make announcement and say, call Talmid, any student, she'ein toicho kebaroi, that his inside is not like his outside, lo yikonos lebeis hamedrash, cannot go into the beis hamedrash. Therefore, Rav Gamliel appointed a guard not to let in somebody whose innards wasn't like his outward, meaning that even though outwardly he looked to be religious, but if his insides were not equivalent to his outside, he could not come into the Beis HaMedrash. But when Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah became the leader of the Sanhedrin, he removed that guard and he allowed anybody who wants to come in to come in. The Gemara continues that Hahu Yoyma, that day, many benches were added to the Beis HaMedrash, and we have an argument how many benches were added. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Abba Yosef ben Destu and Rabbanon are arguing. One says that it was added 400 benches to the Beis HaMedrash, and the other one says that several hundred benches were added to the Beis HaMedrash. And the Divrei Yoel wants to understand what is the argument between Rab Gamliel and the Rabbanon, why Rab Gamliel was so insistent that any student whose inside does not match his outside should not come into the Beis HaMedrash, and why Rab Lozer ben Azariah and the other rabbis didn't seem to care who comes into the Beis HaMedrash. They accepted everybody in Beis HaMedrash. What was the source and the point of argument that they had in regards to this idea, who could come into the Beis HaMedrash? And the Satmar Rebbe explains that clearly if you are discussing a student that is not worthy, clearly everybody agrees that you are prohibited to teach him Torah. As the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kof Lamed Gimel 133a says, Omar Rav Zeira, Omar Rav. Rav Zeira says the name of Rav. Kol HaShoyne, the Talmud Shoyne Hogan. Anybody who teaches a student that is not proper, does not behave properly. Kezorek Evel Magolios is tantamount of him throwing stones to the idol Markolios, which normally the way to serve him was to throw stones, which means to say that the Talmud is there saying that if you teach a student that is not proper, it's not behaving nicely, then it's tantamount of you committing idolatry. And this is exactly what the Rambam paskens in the Perek Dalot Milchus Tamei Torah, the fourth Perek in Milchus Tamei Torah Halacha Aleph, and the Tor Yoredeya also brings this down in Simen Reish Mem Vav. Then clearly the argument between Rab Gamliel and the rabbis could not be in regards to such students. So what is the argument about? It must be in regard to somebody, it seems that this person behaves outwardly very nice, we don't see anything wrong with his behavior, but nonetheless Rab Gamliel was very insistent that unless we know for sure that his inside matches his outside, then we cannot accept him in the Beis HaMedrash. We could only accept him in the Beis HaMedrash when we know for sure that his inside matches his outside. And the rabbis held that we don't have to look at what goes into his insides, as long as his outside, meaning outwardly, he behaves properly, that is enough
to allow him to come into the Beis HaMedrash. Therefore, as soon as Rav Gamliel was deposed, they removed the guard of the Beis HaMedrash, and they allowed anybody who outwardly behaved nicely to come into the Beis HaMedrash. And the question is in regards to Rav Gamliel. We know that a Jew has a cheskas kashrus, that he has an assumption that he behaves properly. And clearly a person who outwardly behaves properly, he should have a cheskas kashrus. He should have a presumption that inwardly he behaves properly. Then why was Rav Gamliel so insistent that only if we know for sure that inwardly he behaves as nice as outwardly, he comes into the Beis HaMedrash? Why didn't Rav Gamliel rely on his cheskas kashrus, on his assumption of being a righteous Jew? And to understand this, the Divrei Yoel brings the Yismach Moshe in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Yismach Moshe there is giving a reason why, when the judges are judging a case, they send the litigants out before they decide on the case. Meaning that if two people are arguing regarding a case and they are coming in front of a court to judge, the judges cannot give the decision while the litigants are in the same room. Meaning that even if the litigants are in the other corner of the room where they cannot overhear the arguments and the discussion between the judges, nonetheless, that is not good enough. We require that the litigants be removed completely from the room, go to another room, and only then we start making the deliberations and we start discussing and deciding the case. And he asks, what is the point of sending the litigants out? Why can't they be in the same room as long as they can't hear the arguments and the deliberations of the judges? And he answers based on what is written in Sefer Chentov, where the Sefer Chentov explains that every time that the people are judging, then we know that the Shekhinah is there, the Divine Presence is there. As it's written in Shoftim chapter 2, verse number 18, V'hoyo Hashem im ha-shofet, the Hashem is going to be with the judge. And unless the Shekhinah is there, then even great judges could make very big mistakes. The fact that the Shekhinah is there, the Divine Presence is there, therefore that Divine Presence help that the judges should reach the right verdict. And therefore it's written also in Tehillim chapter 147, Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, Hashem who tells his words to Jacob, Chukov, his decrees, Mishpatov, and his judgments, LeYisrael, to the Jewish people, Lo Yaso Chein LeChol Goy, he doesn't do that to any other nation, Mishpatim Bal Yadum, and they don't know Hashem's judgments, which means that Hashem is only there when the judges are Jewish people, but not when the judges are Gentiles. So we see clearly that Hashem is involved in every decision that the judges make. And since the Gemara in Soita Daf Membeis Omed Aleph 42a brings down that Omar Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba'Abba says, Arba Kitois, four groups, Ein Mekablim Pnei Hashchina, do not accept the face of Hashem, meaning that Hashem does not rest His Divine Presence over them, and they are Kat Hanofim, some group of people who try to ingratify themselves, Kat Leitzim, a group of mockers, Kat Shkorim, a group of liars, and Kat Mesapre Loshon Hara, and a group of those who speak Loshon Hara, derogatory remarks on another. And regarding the Kat Shkorim, the group that speaks lies, the verse in Tehillim chapter 101 says, Doiver Shkorim, those who speak lies, Lo Yochon Leneged Enai, will not be standing in front of my eyes. That means that wherever liars are, Hashem does not appear. And when we're talking about liars, we are not necessarily talking about liars for a reason. Even when somebody just lies, then Hashem does not appear. Clearly, when somebody lies in order to extract money from another person, then clearly Hashem would not appear in that group. And normally, when you have two litigants in front of you, one of them is lying, one of them is not saying the truth. Therefore, he's definitely considered as a liar. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yude Betabai says, in regards to judges, he says, Ukesheyu Baal Hadin, when the litigants will be oindim lefonecho, standing in front of you, then Yiyu Beinechoi should be in your eyes, meaning in the judge's eyes, Kirishoim, like these litigants are evil people, meaning that the judge should view the litigants as both of them are evil people. Why should you view them as evil people? Because clearly one of them is lying, therefore you should view them as both are evil. Once you view them as both are evil, you are telling them to get out of the room, because Hashem does not rest where the evil people are, and once they get out of the room, then Hashem is able to rest His divine presence over the judges, and then the judges will come to the true verdict, to the verdict that's supposed to be according to what Hashem wants. But while the litigants are in the same room, even though they are not hearing the arguments, then Hashem cannot appear, because Hashem does not appear amongst a group of liars. And only when you send the liars out of the room, then Hashem could come to rest His spirit over the judges, and then the judges will come to the proper judgment. And he brings a proof from what is written in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 18, in regards to David HaMelech, Vashem Imoy, and Hashem is with him, which means that Halacha Kamoisoy Bechol Mokoy, that Halacha is like David HaMelech everywhere. So we see that in order to get the proper Halacha, you require to have Hashem with you. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Beis Omed Beis 12b says, Miyom Shechorev Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nitla Nevuah Nanavim, the prophecy was taken away from the prophets, the Nitno Lechachomim, it was given to the wise men. What does it mean it was given to the wise men? It means that the judges, when they judge, Hashem's divine presence is present in the room, and He causes that people will give the right judgment, even though they may not have the proper information, but Hashem's presence is there, and therefore they come to the right conclusion. According to this, the Divrei Yol explains that clearly in the Beis Medrash of Rab Gamliel, all the rabbis gathered together, and there they had to come to the conclusions regarding any doubt that the people have, and they had to make sure that what they say is according to Halacha, and from there came out judgments to all of Israel. And since in regards to getting the Halacha properly, you require to have the divine presence come over them, therefore, even though sometimes you could not understand it with the regular mind of a person, you require to have a little bit of prophecy in order to come to the proper conclusion. Therefore, Rav Gamliel was very careful that no improper person was present there, no person that is a liar, or no person that does anything wrong is present, in order not to cause the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, to leave that room. Because Rav Gamliel is afraid that even though this person behaves properly outwardly, but if his insides is not pure, then technically he's fooling the people. And since he's fooling the people, then he is considered a group of liars. And if he's considered a group of liars, then the Shekhinah would not come down, the Divine Presence would not come down and rest over the rabbis, and the rabbis might not come to the actual proper conclusions on Halacha. Therefore, Rav Gamliel was very careful that only a person that we know that is inside matches is outside, that person could come in, because Rav Gamliel didn't want to chas v'sholem cause that the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, should not rest upon them, and if the Shekhinah does not rest upon them, they may come to their own conclusion. And even though a person normally has a cheskas kasher, an assumption of being a proper person, but when something affects the whole Jewish people, then we are more stringent and we have to be more careful. And the proof is what Tosfos brings down in Yuma, Daf Beis Omet Aleph 2a, where there Tosfos says that in regards to the high priest, we are more stringent and we are more careful and we worry more about doubts, because on the high priest is dependent the atonement for the Jewish people, meaning that since the high priest is involved in the atonement of the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, then we are more stringent in regards to the high priest. So too here, since the Bezin of Rav Gamliel was the Bezdin that decided all the cases for the Jewish people. Therefore, Rav Gamliel felt that we cannot just assume the presumption of somebody being righteous. We have to ascertain if a person is righteous, and only then we are allowed to come, because we don't want Chas v'Shalom to cause that the Shechina, the Divine Presence, should leave the Jewish people. But the rabbis held that since we have a majority here of scholars and a majority of righteous people, and clearly we don't have to worry that somebody is not proper, because clearly, since we have so many great rabbis from heaven, they will help that if a person is not behaving properly inside, then either this person won't come to the Beis HaMedrash, Hashem will prevent him from coming, joining the house of learning, or Hashem will make sure that everybody finds out what this person does in inside, meaning Hashem will reveal what his inside is like, that he is corrupted, then automatically they won't allow him to come to the Beis HaMedrash. Therefore, the rabbis decided that this is not a reason good enough to prevent people from coming to learn, since we assume that most people are righteous people, and not righteous people, Hashem will prevent them from coming by either disclosing to everybody that this person is not righteous, or by causing this person for some reason not to come to the Beis HaMedrash. Therefore, as soon as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the leader of the Jewish people, he removed the guard of the Beis HaMedrash, and therefore it was added many benches to the Beis HaMedrash. According to this, Sefer Divrei Yoel says that now we could explain what happened in this parsha. He explains that we know there are different levels of the Ashraz Ashkina, of the Divine Presence. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that when 10 people are present, then the Shekhinah comes and appears for them. And when 3 people are judging, then the Shekhinah comes and appears for him. When 2 people are learning, then the Divine Presence come and appears. Then clearly there are different levels of the Divine Presence appearing in front of people. And clearly, one of the greatest levels of Divine Presence was when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Torah. Because since it's written in Parshas Baloischo, Bamidbar chapter 12, verse number 8, Peh el peh adaber boy, mouth to mouth I speak in him. It's not written Peh el peh adaber loy, mouth to mouth I speak to him. It's written that mouth to mouth I speak in him. The Medrash says that Shechina medaberes mitoch groino shel Moshe, that the Divine Presence was speaking from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying the words, but the words that came out was the words of Hashem. Clearly, if the Shechina speaks from Moshe Rabbeinu's throat, then Moshe Rabbeinu has to be very careful to whom he is speaking, because Moshe Rabbeinu cannot speak to a group of liars, he cannot speak to a group of people who speak Lashon Hara, he cannot speak to a lot of different groups, which causes the Shechina to leave. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Torah to the people. Moshe Rabbeinu did not teach Torah to the whole assembly. Moshe Rabbeinu taught to the people that are worthy, the people who could hear the Torah. But the people who could not hear the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu made sure that they did not come to learn, that they did not come to join. So Moshe Rabbeinu never taught Torah to the whole assembly, because amongst the whole assembly there were always people who were not worthy, and Moshe Rabbeinu could not afford to tell them the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu could not afford to cause the Shekhinah to leave, because then the Shekhinah would not be speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu. According to this, the Divrei Yoel explains that in this parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a dilemma, since Hashem told him that he has to speak to a Kol Adas Bnei Israel, meaning that he has to speak to the whole congregation of Jewish people, even to the people that are not worthy. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he has to do something in order to cause him to be worthy. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu gives him a bracha that Kadoshim Tiyu, that you are going to be holy. Once Moshe Rabbeinu said these words, automatically the Jewish people all became holy. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to change through his words the people's inside, and they all became holy miraculously. And once the Jewish people became holy, now Moshe Rabbeinu could transmit this law to the whole congregation of Jewish people. then according to this, Kedoshim Tiyu, that you should be holy, is like the Agra the Chal explains, a promise to the Jewish people that they are going to be holy. Why is it required that they be holy to get this message of this Parsha? The answer is, Ki Kodosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because since Hashem is holy, and as we mentioned, Hashem does not put His divine presence on a group of liars, therefore it is required that Kedoshim Tiyu, that you are holy, in order for you to receive these words of this Parsha. Because if you are not holy, then you cannot receive the words of this Parsha. And since in this Parsha, Rav Gufa Toire Tluimba, the majority of the essentials, laws of the Torah are contained in this Parsha. And in this Parsha, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu to speak El Kol Adas Bnei Israel, to the whole congregation of Jewish people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice. He had to give them a blessing and promise them that they are going to be holy, and miraculously they became holy. Like that, Moshe Rabbeinu now could transmit the law to the whole congregation of Jewish people, and not only to the people who are worthy, like he always used to do. Then the Divrei Yoel asks if all it was needed is for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them Kedoshim Tiyu in order to teach everybody Torah, then why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say those words every time he taught Torah to the Jewish people? And the Divrei Yoel answers, because since we have a rule, the Loi Bechol Yoyme Misrachesh Nisa, that not every day a miracle happens, and Moshe Rabbeinu realized that in order for them to become holy, it is required to have a miracle, meaning that by his words people will automatically repent and their insides will turn like the outsides. That will only happen by a miracle. Therefore, only when Hashem told him to speak to the whole congregation of Jewish people, then Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he could use these words to create a miracle in order to cause him to go to a higher level, in order that he should be able to teach Kol Adas Bnei Israel, the whole congregation of the Jewish people. But on every day when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it's not right to use a miracle for that purpose. But in this parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu gives the promise to the Jewish people that they are going to be holy, and through his promise he caused that the insides of the people change and the dirt that was in them is transformed and they are in actuality holy, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu could give them the law. And the reason is, Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because since Hashem is holy and the divine presence does not appear when somebody lies, when somebody speaks to Lashon Hara, therefore it's required that Kedoshim Tiyu, that you should have the blessing and the promise that you are holy, because otherwise I cannot give you the words that Hashem told me to give in this parsha. And according to this, it is very good why it's written Daber El Kol Adas Bnei Israel Ve'omarto Aleihem. Why is it written the harsh word and then the soft word? The harsh word is what Hashem told him to give the laws, meaning Daber El Kol Adas Bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people all the laws, tell them everything that's written in the parsha. But Ve'omarto Aleihem, you should speak to them in a soft tone, is Kedoshim Tiyu, that they should be holy. So the words Kedoshim Tiyu was spoken in a soft tone to the Jewish people, because since this is a promise that the Jewish people are going to be holy, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke it softly. But the words of Torah, since they are hard words, all the precepts on this parsha are hard precepts, therefore the Torah says, Daber el kol adas bnei Yisrael, speak to the whole congregation of the Jewish people, which is referring to the harsh words, which are the laws that are in this parsha. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu said and promised us, Kedoshim Tiyu, that we should all be holy, that the words of Moshe Rabbeinu while we read this parsha should come true, and we should merit to be holy and merit to have the revelation, the Shechina, come amongst us, and we should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.